Well, Lily, please, big round of applause.
Ja, moin, moin.
Oder moin. Knock, knock. Or knock, knock, if you see the slides. So, if you're asking, who is that knock? Well, today you can learn quite a little bit about that, what we did at Euroference, what went well, what not, as well as technically and personally. So, I'm Lily. I've been doing networking on Congress for 3 years now, but also at smaller events. Of course, there's a very nice team behind me who's also taking part in that. Thanks a lot. We've started approximately with 6 people. Now we are 12. All right. So half of you who didn't show hands when asked, what is your reference? Well, it's a furry convention. You've seen furries. Thanks for the introduction. It's taking place in this very same building, in the CCH, but always in summertime. Furry community has quite a lot of overlap with the tech community, but it's generally more artistic as opposed to the tech community, but also has a very nice communal event. For the other part of you who knows what furries are but do not know what NOC is, well, it stands for Network Operations Center. It's a typical term in industry and is used to denote that a network for a certain purpose is operated by this NOC. For instance, for an event, in our case, a C3 NOC, of course. On Easter Hack, we had a little NOC at Euroference. Now we also have an EF NOC. And this is something that you do often in the context of events, because events have quite interesting demands on networking, and it's good if there are some people who know the stuff and who can take care of this for this very specific event. So, okay, this doing something, we asked ourselves, well, because some of us had quite a bit of experience. Jenny, who was supposed to be here, is also doing it for some years. So the question was, how hard can it be? Just use some access points, bit of Wi-Fi, maybe some fiber in switches, and yeah, put some light through the building. At the end, this is what came out of it. That was our plan. And it turns out we had over 70 switches, 3 servers at 2 different places in Hamburg, over 120 Wi-Fi access points, many gigabits of bandwidth passing through, and in this way, that's what quite independent of what the building used, except for the fiber, we put in our own tech for everything. So it turned out to be a little bit more complicated than expected, actually. So how do we start if that is our goal? Well, we start in the beginning. So we first ask ourselves the question, what happens before the event? And I would always recommend to start with thinking about these 3 things. So doesn't need to be in a design document written down explicitly or discussed in a plenum or anything, but it's still quite useful if everybody in the team is kind of aware of what this is all about. So what do I mean? We mean context, means who are our users? Is it internal users only that are like part of the organizational team, or is it the public? So like visitors of the event, that of course makes a difference for capacity planning, for communication with those users. On a small event, you can do it, of course, person to person. Or do we need like a ticket system maybe? What restrictions and constraints you're working on? Are there budget restraints or time constraints, things like that? Or can you like basically do something in your local hack space whenever you feel like it? Of course, none of this is a deal breaker, but you should be aware of it for planning and implementing. And also very important, who's your team? What are you able to do? Are you able to do really complex network structures that can do lots of awesome technology, or is it more like of a broader skill set and you need to do your planning in a different way? This is important for everything to work smoothly. Next thing, requirements. I mean, we need to be aware of what the users actually want. So, which parts are really important? What important does mean very important for everybody involved? Which things are optional? And you need to be aware of these prioritizations so you can plan your processes. You need to be aware of what needs to be there first. And I'd really like to recommend to you to do this both from a high-level perspective with the users, talking with the users about how they think about this. So maybe talk to another team who says they want to have internet, then discuss on a high level with their team what exactly they want and need. And yeah, you can find alternatives on this high level if some things aren't possible, and to understand what exactly you need to do. So if a team says they need internet, then from a technical point of view, this means there needs to be a DHCP server, there needs to be a router, maybe a DNS resolver, some other kinds of servers. And these are the internal things that you need to understand internally as a team, but however, also communicate on a high level, communicate and think on both of these levels. And the plan, of course, that's straightforward. If you are now aware of which context you're operating in and what exactly the demands are, then the plan is basically how to get there. So this means both technical details like network topology, which hardware you want to use, as well as organizational things like logistics, of course. This is something not to be taken lightly. Where do you get the machines from that you want to have? In practice, this is actually kind of complicated sometimes, but there's nice ways to get this done. In our case, we did not plan it at that level of detail. We were all like kind of aware, but the context in which we operated was not all of us very clear all the time, which was not as nice as it could have been. We will do it better. So the context for us was like we want to have a network for the Eurofer and stuff, which means that it is not for public visitors, just for internal organization of the convention. And we were able to talk to these internal users very nicely. They are all part of the organizational structure of Eurofference. So it was very, very easy to communicate with them. That was very easygoing for like the first project. Another context was we are working in this building, the CCH, which brings some constraints, like we were only able to access technical rooms under supervision, but it's fine, but you need to know this in advance. We were also only able to build up during daytime because of security reasons. And from a technical perspective, there's lots of multimode fiber in the building here. And it's somewhat hard to use this for high speeds and for long distances. You can work with it, but you need to know it in advance and plan accordingly. And some more context, our team is quite diverse with respect to skill set. But importantly, we did not have much overlap between our skill sets. We had everything we need from like IP routing to diverse services all the way to Wi-Fi, but not lots of redundancy for the individual things, which led to bottleneck effects sometimes. Also, we had not that much pre-planning and preparation of the entire team because your reference also has a lot of overlap with other events here, so knowledge wasn't as distributed as it could have been. The high-level demands were that the network are able to be used for audio and video production. That was actually the main reason for this network, because the demands kept growing until people realized that the tech on-site was simply not able to handle this anymore. So the different audio and visual cues from very, very lovely productions they do, they need these technical protocols running on the system. And in addition, internal security communications should have been done on this network. And of course, like the so-called internet for different teams. So it was called StuffNet for internal use of staffers. Importantly, both audio-video production as security communication is crucial for the event. If those things do not exist, the event literally cannot take place. Other things like StaffNet, that sounds not too bad. They are also super important, actually, because you need to verify your tickets, for instance, which is kind of relevant if you want to verify your visitors and attendees. So all of this is event critical. From a technical point of view, means most things were for the audio-video thing, means we need multiple separated networks. We need to support multicast. Network must have been able to do 40 gigabit per second for the different audio and video streams from the different stages, from the different cameras. They all needed to pass through that network. We also needed to be able to be PTP, precision time protocol, and also optimally have a low latency and low amount of jitter.
So we needed a half a millisecond of buffer, so the throughput needed to be appropriate. We had the plan to have simple solutions and selected a simple architecture, just VLANs, no MPLS, no EVPN, no overlays, because it was more simple and we understood it.
Latency and jitter requirements erfüllt.
And it satisfied the jitter and latency requirements that we had. So having to configure each VLAN on every switch was a drag, and so we decided on automation for that. Our hardware was a mix of Arista and Juniper switches. Arista because they have good PTP support. The requirement of PTP was that the hardware already brought it with its firmware. And precise timing was important for us, and they were also 40 gigabits capable.
Also das Ticketing hat dann zum Beispiel so einen kleinen gemütlichen Juniper Switch hingekriegt.
And Juniper was for the other things, like the ticketing or something. We decided on a Aruba for Wi-Fi because we had some experience with it. Ultimately, it worked as expected, and so it was good. We had an hypervisor with multiple services, DHCP, DNS, and a router. And we wanted to connect the internet with the dark fiber. There's something from here to the IPHH, which is a data center in Hamburg. And we were able to use that dark fiber, and it worked very well. If we put a Wi-Fi everywhere, then it would be nice if our visitors could also use it. And we planned to do this, and we thought it might not be that difficult. So here's the difficulties. So you have a hypervisor, and there's multiple VMs. And it would be very bad if between the VMs it wouldn't be forwarding the data. Here's our diagram. We had a switch, which was the core switch, and it had all the VLANs. And then we had connected the hypervisor to this. And the network card in the hypervisor was Mellanox. It was capable of 40 gigabits. So we were able to bring the 40 gigabits to the virtual machines. The card has a function FRIOV, and you can split that card into multiple virtual cards. Each of these virtual functions shows up as a separate PCIe device, and you can pass it through to a VM. So the VM can directly talk to the network device, and it doesn't have to go to the hypervisor and then talk the network protocol. So we're saving a buffer copy. A very nice technology. It's being used a lot. Unfortunately, in this Mellanox Connect E3 card has a user configuration which broke the switching between those virtual functions, between the virtual hosts. Inside the card, there's supposed to be a second network chip, which is a switch that only routes between those ones. And it works sometimes. We figure it was a Mac address learning problem. We weren't sure in the end.
Wurde dann noch verschlimmert. Ich sagte am Anfang, eine der VMs ist auch der Router.
It got worse. Das heißt, wenn wir dann one of the VMs is the router. Wanting to use the hypervisor management interface meant we had to go through this VM, which was the router, and we couldn't reach it, so we had to reboot the whole hypervisor machine. We did a lot of testing. We tried multiple configurations. They almost worked. Eventually, we built a second router externally, and so we didn't pass traffic between the VMs anymore.
Ja, aber im Endeffekt haben wir halt auf diesem originalen Plan mit diesem Virtual Function viel zu lange festgehalten.
But we held on to the original plan for far too long.
Das ist auch eins der Takeaways.
And that's one of the takeaways.
Und eure Infrastruktur werden
irgendwann. So one of the takeaways is your plans and your infrastructure will diverge and it'll fail. No matter what you plan, something will break. So this network card which we had, which was supposed to work, but other things. Here in C39C3 is aged for years, it's matured for years, but we still find problems every time. So the idea of backup plans and backup hardware is that you should use it if it's there. Don't spend hours on a solution that almost works, especially if you have a second person that's looking for the backup hardware. So, looking after the backup hardware. Just go and use it. So, if you can test it as closely to production as possible, that would be nice.
Aber wenn wir jetzt unser schönen Hypervisor haben, es gibt dann noch so eine
Now, given our hypervisor, there's a second component that is supposed to forward traffic, and that's our switches. What if they don't do this?
Beziehungsweise ein bisschen eingeschränkt. Kurzer Einschub.
Well, I had a reduced functionality. We said we need PTP. PTP is Precision Time Protocol.
Ein sehr schönen Talk vor 3 Stunden namens
3 hours ago, there was a talk on this.
Aber die Grundidee ist, dass in PTP
the fundamental idea in PTP is that you have a tree structure. In every network segment, you have a best clock, and the clients sync to it. Here on the segment A, you have one clock, and the switch cuts it into 2 segments. So the switch is a client to the clock and synchronizes with it, and in segment B, the switch is the master clock, and that's how the tree structure is built. This is called boundary clock mode, and we used it. There's other modes, Our mode has good support, but in practice it didn't work so well. When we used it as designed, then the time was bad. When we tried to switch off the PTP and forwarded the packets just like that, then the switch dropped a few of the packets. It just dropped a few, but not all of them. And that led to the audio and video equipment to not be able to synchronize. Sometimes we were really frustrated because we had actually tested it. And we noticed some of the switches were working just fine. We did methodical search and debugging, resetting, booting, same configuration on multiple devices, much trial and error, and it was a firmware issue. The switch on which it worked had a different firmware from the other ones. In the end, we solved the problem.
Now,
we never told anyone. Audio and video is so important for the event. And we were there busy debugging, but we just didn't tell them.
Und wir reden gar nicht so viel mit denen und es ist halt gar nicht mal so gut.
That wasn't also good.
Die auch Arista benutzen, verwendet die grüne Firmware, wenn ihr PTP macht.
So if you're using Arista, then use a green firmware, not the red one. And the takeaways are, software and firmware on embedded devices is very important.
Zum Beispiel sucht sich vorm Event gute Firmware aus.
Das, the Chaos Congress takes versions of firmware that are marked as known good from experience. There's a lot of discussion, of course, which one it is, but it's a conscious decision. If you buy these things just like randomly, then it won't work. The next takeaway is that major blockers need to be communicated. The other teams need to be informed. And they should get regular status updates. If you have detail on why it doesn't work, then it's good. But otherwise, you just tell them we are working on it. And then it's a way together.
Lege ich euch wirklich ans Herz.
I really encourage you to do this.
Surprise. Hooray, also, wir können jetzt
so we were able to finally forward our traffic.
Ja, das stimmt.
Also yes. Network was up. It mostly worked.
So
now you can't change your config anymore.
Wir hatten dann nämlich, wie bereits erwähnt, so eine schöne Funktionalität, die nennt
sich We had something that was Configuration Automation.
Auch vom C3NOC, also gute Software gibt
es. It's a very good software, it comes from the Chaos Congress.
Und diese Software hatte teilweise in unserer Netzwerktopologie ein paar Bugs.
And our network topology didn't work with it. We had set up VLAN dependencies between devices, and that didn't quite work. But this tooling is based on templates. You have a piece of software called Netbox, and then you have templates, and they render switch configurations. And the switches fetch the configuration from a web server. It's not really complicated. But you have to explain to people how it works. You can model a lot in this tool, but if you don't explain to your own team members on what's important and how to use it, then they will make mistakes. They're not malicious.
Funktionierende Config, die irgendjemand mit Hand geschrieben hat, über die Automatisierung wieder kaputt konfiguriert.
So somebody by hand writes a nice working configuration and then the automation destroys it again.
Und dann wird's wieder kaputt automatisiert und dann wendet man sich wieder an andere Leute,
Menschen. And then these people come back and they say, well, how does this work? And then you have a bottleneck and in talking to the one person who understands it. And eventually we had to press the emergency stop button.
Will also heißen, wir haben die Automatisierung leider nicht benutzt.
We have not used the automation.
Und mussten sehr viele der Geräte dann
konfigurieren. And then we had to configure everything by hand. Or at least the majority of them. That was different as planned.
Auch wenn's
so please test your tooling, even if it works well at other events. Test it for yourself and for your network topology and explain to your teams how to use it, even if it seems intuitive. Even if there's good documentation, ensure that your team can work with this. During the event, it may get stressful. So do this up front. A final problem. We were late. Our internal services were partially up. We had a router. We had a little bit of a DHCP server. But not really. We had no Wi-Fi. We had 120 access points, but no Wi-Fi. The five in the NOC were working. And the other teams were not connected. We've talked with the cache desk, and they still didn't have internet. It was very bad. So, answer is we should get a bigger team. We have been able to recruit people from the furry community and from the chaos community. Anyone who knows about networks. In both ways, both with advice and with action. We started on six people, and then in the end we had 12, and it was fantastic. If you are in a similar situation, you can depend on your community, and you do something for the community if you build a network team, and the community will support you.
Weitere Netzwerk-Community, wir haben unglaublich viel Hilfe.
We have a lot of support from the infrastructure team at the event. They sponsored us with hardware. We got a lot of support from the data center, both with support and understanding. The support community is very good and you can rely on them. There's mostly people who really want to help you. And another recommendation, be nice to the location, because that really helps. So in summary, things will go wrong. And you will have to bring resilience. And you will have to keep cool, and you will have to apply your problem-solving skills. Everything is good fun if you communicate and value your team, and you try and do it together instead of against each other. Then you can have fun with your devices. Here we deployed Wi-Fi in front of the house. Somebody had brought it, so we put it out there. Many thanks.
euch ganz viel Spaß in euren eigenen.
And I wish you a lot of fun in your own events.
So, yeah, das war Building a Knock from Scratch. That was Building a Knock from Scratch from Lily and Scientress, who is absent. Get well soon. Are there any questions?
Für Fragen an den Signal Angel oder an die Mikrofone, bitte. Mikrofon Nummer 2.
Microphone number 2.
War das Knock-Problem der Grund, dass die...
Was the Knock-Problem the reason for your reference being delayed in the beginning? I will neither deny nor confirm this. Okay, that's a very clear answer. Are there any more questions? Yeah, mic 2 again. I have, like, let's call it... I got a question about the Knock, because I'm... not a Knock person. I'm like, as long as it works, it's good. So, at home, I have a bit of Unify, and especially configuration things. That's, if you do Unify, you have one host that takes control of it. You don't have like 500 different configs from 500 different switches. So, what's your opinion on that? Well, it really, really depends on your demands. If you have a small event, or if you have like your network at home, then this works really well. But if you need configuration that are transmitted via those central management that are not able to be done via these central services, then you run into limitations. Depending on what you need, this can work. But in our case, it was not possible at this scale and at the features we required. Okay, thank you. All right. Is there another one? Oh, yeah. Yes, mic 1. I have a little question, because this is like a little bit of a gray area in your talk, which I would like to have more understanding. The whole farther stuff, because you're part of Knock for quite some time now. So you got all this hardware just thrown on the table, or how did you choose? Well, we basically used things from the event infra pool, which is it's from the Netherlands. It's basically a pool of lots of hardware for different community events, public events, basically. And you can just ask them, tell them, hey, I have this and that event. I'd like to get this and that hardware from you. And then you talk to them who you are. And at the end, you sign a loan agreement with them. And event infra is very nice with respect to costs. Of course, you have to do a proper insurance. Of course, they also need to pay some money sometimes to get their stuff. But for like community-oriented things, it's a great source of hardware. Lots of event technique stuff. We used the pool and we took a look at event infra, and we were wondering what could be of use for our purposes, and we just asked them. Thanks a lot, and thanks also for the talk. Okay, so I'm not seeing any more questions, so wanna wish the furries that in future they have even better events. Yes, that was the talk by Lily, Building a Knock from Scratch. Please, a big round of applause anymore. Thanks for listening to the English Translation.